got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie. This goes out to you. This goes out to you and you and you,
Biggie.
You. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. This goes out to you.
Welcome back to the Notorious MMA Podcast. We're here June 27th, live from London. We're going to recap all the action from this weekend, two events in the MMA world.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock.
We had Bellator from MSG in New York.
It's up to you, New York. New York. New York.
Big event for Bellator. I mean, they really had to, like, put themselves on the map, and they did everything they can.
Their biggest event ever.
Give us a stat card, yeah. And then we're going to go into UFC Fight Night Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay, hell, hey, hey, Oklahoma!
Which was on Sunday night. UFC kind of stepping aside for Bellator a little bit this weekend.
It was, yeah.
So here we go, let's do it. First fight, the main event of Bellator was Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva, and we were all looking forward to this. This has been a rivalry that's been going for years, ever since Chael said that he was going to walk into Brazil and fucking rape every woman.
Yeah.
Be careful talking about some things like a Brazil, you know, talking bad things about Brazil. You don't know Brazil. You have respect, you feel, you know, lost your teeth. No. Brazil will say that.
What do you feel going into Sao Paulo in that environment?
Well, if those blowhards with their blow darts want to come at me, they can send anybody they want, but don't send anybody you want back.
Chael got the decision. Obviously, it was only a 3-round fight, but what did you guys think?
Yeah, Chael was... Chael controlled the fight with wrestling. We always thought he's going to respect Wanderlei's stand-up and his striking. And he did. He came in and he wasn't going to stand with him, because every time he did, he nearly ended up on the canvas.
Fucking
and he did a couple
hell.
Of times. So, you know, Wanderlei just didn't quite follow up Chael. To be fair to him, he defended well. He turned defensive positions into really attacking wrestling positions.
Yeah.
He moved into his side control a number of times, got the full mount a couple of times, and really just was in control. It was a little bit negative. At the same time,
but Wanderlei,
you don't blame him, because Wanderlei's a dangerous guy. But then again, we can just see who doesn't score, you know, points as an entertaining fight style, but they just know how to win the opponent over. Because Chael did not really hurt Wanderlei. He just controlled him and tired him. Wanderlei generally troubled him a couple of times, nearly knocked him out.
I see your point, but I think the crowd was really into this as a main event. And they were ruined, you know, for both fighters. You know, there was a lot of history here. And I felt like Chael, even though some people don't like that aspect of MMA, I think Chael did the ultimate game plan. Every time he got rocked, he was taking him down. I mean, what do you think, Leo?
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was amazing. Chael did what he needed to do in that fight. And he makes up for any lack and boringness in the fight by building it up so much and having such a fucking mouth on him. Like, and Chael's character kind of brings it to life a bit for me.
But he was still working.
He was working hard, and he did ground. He absolutely done Silva on the ground. He had no chance with the grappling. But Wanderlei got me excited, man. When he nearly knocked him out, was that the second round?
second, maybe, or first even. Yeah, could have been first. End of the second.
I think he knocked him down a couple of times.
It was fucking sweet, man. I was rooting for that. I really wanted to see that knockout because I'm a big Wanderlei Silva fan. And it was. I think the other thing about the crowd that you mentioned is that it's a big rivalry between US and Brazil, isn't it? It's like all the US fans are totally behind Chael.
Yeah.
And the Brazilians are going crazy for Silva. He's their boy, man.
And, you know, Wanderlei, 4 years off. How did you think it went, Eric?
Man, well, I have to disagree with Paul there, man. I think Chael Sonnen was beating the bricks off Wanderlei Silva on the ground, man. The thing is, it's not a boring decision because he was pounding the shit out of his head and he was taking him down with ferocious double leg takedowns. Chael Sonnen's a wrestler and a ground and pound expert.
There wasn't much blood from Wanderlei, considering how much time he spent in the dominant position.
His head was swelled up.
That was at that start where he had him a little bit against the cage and he was sort of like getting those punches through, but the rest of the fight he was gaining positions and holding him there and barely landing punches.
Yeah, I want to get my hand raised and you know, everything else that comes in between, it doesn't make a bit of a difference to me. Wanderlei's a tough guy. That's the reality. I don't like Wanderlei Silva. I'm not going to go around and compliment him. But I'm also not going to lie about it. He's a tough guy. And, you know, he held on tight. He's a strong guy. And there you go. And so I just thought the card as a whole was outstanding. Being the main event is a nice honor. It really is.
You know, come on. He's landed rounds one and two. I'm not saying that. I said he definitely... done, you know, a lot not of damage, strikes, not too much damage.
But he
and
was
for
improving
that reason,
his
yeah.
position. He was yeah. constantly going into
no,
full
I'm just,
mount.
I'm just saying the Wanderlei fight style is obviously look for that knockout a bit yeah. more.
It was
and,
just
you know, but there you go, you know.
For Wanderlei not to have, I mean, any answer, not even look like he was trying to defend them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's why that just disappointed me as well. As you know, Wanderlei's been in the sport that long. You'd expect him to have the fucking ground game.
And he's complaining like an amateur.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're pushing him off at the end.
I think he's frustrated, and I think he just doesn't like the style of Chael.
That's very immature.
Yeah.
There were two moments that Wanderlei almost locked him the fuck out, man.
That's what kept the crowd interested, because at any moment you knew that Chael, his jaw is just gone ever since he gave up the fucking TRT. Because
it was just one or two big punches and he was dazed like hell, man. Wanderlei still hits hard. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's good to see that he's still got that punch in him like that. I love that.
Mate, he's been having bar fights every week back in fucking Vegas.
If you don't mess with these Brazilians, man.
You know, if he had a Chael that stood, I think we would have seen a bit more entertainment from Wanderlei.
I think Scott Coker will see that and give him another chance against a striker.
Tito is there.
Yeah, he's
but then he could go.
Tito could take him down as well.
Whoa. Tito Ortiz is massive, man, and he's a ground and pound expert. He ain't much of a striker.
Sure.
So I don't know about that one.
Yeah, Wanderlei definitely needs...
I don't want to be too harsh on Wanderlei, but you touched upon it there, Leo Leahy, man. The fact of the matter is, at this point in his career, it is pretty embarrassing that the only thing he can do is just, like, put a full guard when he gets taken down. There's no attempts of sweeps, no attempts to really try and reverse the position and get back on his feet.
And he was knackered, though, to be fair, halfway through that fight. Every time he got taken down, he was like, fuck. He did stand up early on after one of them. He stood up and the crowd, you know, got into it. But after Chael knew, well, I can just hold him down.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Like, yeah. And Wanderlei's lost that kind of young energy to spring up to his feet, hasn't he? You know?
Yeah, man.
But Chael's wrestling is just absolutely next level as well, though. And that's one thing he's been practicing more than ever, going to other federations and doing it more.
He's got a very strong double leg takedown.
Sure.
Yeah, amazing.
And let's be honest, you know, the last 5 years, Chael has got what he wants, and that's one more fight, one more opportunity, one more payday to tell the world that he's beaten everyone and he's never lost.
Look how many people have beaten.
It's a chance to run his mouth.
He just erases those losses from history.
Yeah.
Did you see Tio Ortiz, like, facing up to him?
Oh, my God.
He's soft, isn't it? I thought he was going to climb into the octagon.
Yeah. He was eyeballing him, and, like, he wasn't even talking about him half the time. He was setting up a fight with Fedor, and Tio was, like, eyeballing him like the camera was on him.
Yeah. And that second when Chael got clipped, he jumped to his feet, didn't he? He was there. He was like, "Oh, you got clipped!"
And in between rounds, he was going, "You got clipped. You got clipped." Yeah. He was like a child.
You pussy.
Tito's a drunk and he's a drug addict. And Tito's broke and he borrows those suits. I have no idea why they even invite him out here. I mean, that is as low class as kids. You have to understand this. I will sign that contract and step into that cage and answer for it every single time without exception. Tito Ortiz will never get in there. Tito Ortiz sucks. He was high tonight. He was drinking tonight. He got booed tonight in his bar. I couldn't give a damn less about Tito Ortiz. But I do think it's very lowbrow. You know, he does it. He's going to behave like that. I'm on one side of the fence and he's on the other. It's like, Tito, man, you're messing with the wrong guy. I will come through here and whip your ass.
He was like crazy. A child shouting through the playground fence at like a fight. Bellator is like, Bellator's the crazy. Wild West of MMA. Amateur hour sometimes. But anyway, yeah, great. A fun main event, but let's be honest, the most fun fight on this card was a short one. Matt Mitrione defeating Fedor Emelianenko with 1:14 after an insane double knockdown.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a video game. That's like me and you playing Street Fighter.
I thought it was over. I was like, oh my god, this is the best fight.
First double knockout, double KO of all time. Like, it was a computer game or something.
And poor Fedor, like, he had that look in his face, and then Mitrione leapt up and recovered, you know.
Yeah, man, Fedor sat up as then he just woke up to like a big Mitrione right hand, wasn't it?
He was like, where am I? Like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah, he put him away quick, Mitrione. He saw his opportunity, and that's his game, like, and he does it well. Like, he can put away people quick.
He can put away his anyone. If he hits anyone, you can put them away.
He's got the power to put anyone away.
Yo, realistically speaking, now that you have this win over Fedor, what does that mean to you?
It means I got paid. That's about it. I mean, like, he's who he is, man. I mean, it means I got another fight in a couple of months, and I can't wait to get working on somebody else. That's what that means.
Yeah, Fedor looked a little bit tired there. He wasn't able to take a punch, it seemed like, you know. That one punch really put him out. Mitrione recovered like that, if you look, again, and he got dropped.
Mitrione probably caught him just maybe a bit better when Fedor was throwing, and he wasn't kind of, you know.
But generally, obviously, to see him get really spiked,
but he took
out,
it on the chin, and he didn't know what hit him. Like, anyone would go down. Like,
it's tough when you're fighting at 40, 42, 43 years old. Yeah. It's really tough.
Very hard. What do you think about him fighting again?
We can't be too harsh on the Last Emperor, man. I mean, he got rocked with that right hand, but he wasn't totally fucked.
No.
It was just Mitrione is so much more athletic and faster, and he got up on him and he started uppercutting the fuck out of him.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't like he was bad. Fedor did all right. It's just Mitrione really took his chance. And I think he's a dangerous heavyweight, man. I think he's got a lot of maturing issues. Well, in the past he did. And I think he's still quite young. I think he's got a bright future, man. Especially if he can start racking up some wins in Bellator and maybe challenge for a belt. He could come back to UFC and cause people problems, man.
Yeah, I think the UFC would have been a bit gutted to see him go. Obviously, he was asking for more money. Bellator came in with an offer and he was just like, why not? But he was on a good run in the UFC. He only lost to, was it Travis Brown with that eye poke? That was like his last fight. And before that, I think he beat the Black Beast.
He did really well. He was in a really good run. He started off on the Ultimate Fighter, then he just knocked everyone out after that. Yeah. So,
but he's got good. Better. He has got mature.
He's looking out for himself. He's a smart guy. You know, he's looking out for his rights and having safety, security. And, you know, I heard him on a few podcasts and he knows what he's doing. Like, he's talking to the right people.
And
he's
now,
got a better package there.
As is the way in Bellator MMA, you win one fight, you get a title shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's good for his career. He's in the spotlight now. You know, he was headline at Madison Square Garden. What more do you want? Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty sick, huh?
Fighting.
Oi, did you guys see the banners of the champions that they had, Bellator, hanging off the MSG?
Yeah, that was pretty cool, yeah.
It was cool, but I didn't see a heavyweight champ. Stopped at Phil Davis on light heavy.
Yeah.
There wasn't a heavyweight championship banner. I guarantee you there wasn't. So maybe
probably,
there ain't a champion.
They probably haven't got one yet. Because obviously Bellator's cut a bit like Strikeforce. Like, you know, they took on the same sort of talent that was in Strikeforce. But, you know, they've lost Daniel Cormier. They've lost Overeem. They've lost Verdum, like the big heavyweights. So I think they probably haven't got around to it, man. So maybe
I don't think they've got one,
We better check. Maybe Mitrione's the champ. But yeah, what a fun co-main event, really. Obviously, we had the Gracie fight in between that, which was a fun little calm down before the main event. But the Gracie guy did well, got the choke and everything, and that was fun.
Yeah, good but performance.
Overall, with these were the two marquee fights on this card, and I think Bellator did a lot of good this weekend, and they'll have got a few fans.
Yeah. For sure, man.
You know, most of the time they're on free TV on Spike, but this was their first pay-per-view in years. So they're going to be definitely setting up some more in the future.
Yeah, can't wait. As they keep the events like this, yeah, everyone will be tuning in. It was a lot to watch there.
I mean, straight away they got Roy Nelson recently. And I know he's got a fight in September, but they could set that up.
Yeah, what do you think of him fighting Matt Mitrione?
Yeah, it'd be all right.
Apparently they're good friends though. They don't want to fight.
Really?
They're trying to avoid each other. But that's got to happen basically for Bellator, right?
I'm not counting down the minutes till that fight's announced.
No, but it's a good fight.
Yeah, it's two heavy hitters. Yeah, think of that.
Well, what do you think about Fedor fighting again?
Yeah, he will, man. He said he'd be back.
I want to see it.
Yeah, he didn't look bad. Like Eric said, he did not look bad.
I'm not sure. I felt like his last few fights were just.
He's obviously he looked bad against Maldonado, and he's been knocked out by a few people now. But
it's got to be another legend who's in his same situation though.
Well, Randy Couture was there in the audience.
Randy Couture, that would be the one. That's the one that got away from him as well. I'd love to see that. Yeah, let's make it happen.
But yeah, let's go down. So we had a couple of title fights on this event as well.
That's right.
A new champion due to injury. A little controversial, but Brent Primus beat Michael Chandler, the reigning champ. And this was fucking horrible to watch. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I just have to say that watching it live, as I did, that is the nastiest thing I've ever seen.
Mate, I totally agree. I was the same. I said to Paul, I said, this is one of the hardest fights I've ever watched.
It just makes you cringe, doesn't it?
So grim.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. I was just making noises throughout because every time he put it down, it snapped off and went beneath him. It was disgusting.
When you liked the guy, to see that happen to them, you feel for them. If you hated someone, it would be easier to watch, let's be honest.
And he carried on.
It's tough.
He did not want this fight stopped.
He's got some heart, innit? Mm. He's got some fight in him, man.
He's a real fighter.
His ankle was like zigzagging like 6 or 7 times as he put it down.
Yeah.
So fucked. Yeah, I have to give credit to Primus, man, innit? He just started booting him in the leg.
Yeah. Chandler was like complaining, like, really? And he was like, fuck this, man. I'm going to do what it takes. It was awesome. I mean, again, obviously we'll get the rematch once Chandler heals up, but what about the shambles afterwards where Athletic Commission of New York and the fucking doctor, like, as soon as he got off the stool, the doctor fucking pulls the stool away like he's got to put it back in the box instantly.
Oh, that was comical, man. That's one of those clips that people will play again and again.
He's got a broken fucking leg.
Yeah.
And he sits back down and just sits on his ass because the stool is missing.
Oh,
I mean, that was just shambolic.
That was all over the shop.
That was terrible.
Yeah, all over.
The weird thing is, you know that Brent Primus guy? I swear to God, he fucking followed me on Instagram, my personal account, before, we did this podcast shit, and I checked him out, he had a few thousand followers, so that was literally over a year and a half ago, and since then he's been working his way up the Bellator ranks, and now he's fighting on this fucking event, and I saw his name time, and I was like, who's this guy? He was a nobody.
Mm.
Now he's the champ in Bellator. It's quite sick.
So he's almost your mate.
Mm.
Well,
we're just connecting with all of these guys.
He liked you,
Oh, shut up.
If someone likes you,
shut up, mate.
See what happens, the friendship grows.
Nah.
Take it that next step.
Paul, you should bait him into giving that Chandler an instant rematch.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be.
Tell him you'll unfriend him or unfollow him.
Yeah.
They'll do that fight again. And,
so that was a shame. That was a real shame.
That was a shame. But what about Michael Chandler's entrance, Eric? That got you pretty excited.
Oh, man, he had a sick entrance, man. That was fucking awesome, man. He had the flames. Can we just say that Bellator is whipping the arse off UFC for entrances, man?
I love it. I love the entrances.
They are. Definitely.
I love
it. So much better, man, than these people sneaking into some side entrance.
Like when Rampage fought, he had his chain going round, like the old Pride video he used to have. That was epic.
Yeah,
That's they're doing it big, like they bring in that kind
that
of
spectacle,
like,
the show, spectacle. Yeah,
they're adding all the little touches that are missing.
Yeah,
from
we
UFC,
were saying this before. We had live, you know, performances for McGregor war counts. We did have rumors that Rihanna was going to do Jose Aldo,
but we're not going to get a fucking Titantron, as they call it in wrestling, because Dana said he wanted to separate.
Titantron.
Yeah, I know what he's saying, but maybe for those special events like he did with the McGregor, he went a little and done something.
They will.
You got to do it for special events.
But
maybe,
I love the Bellator, the screen and the ramp. Like, it's super cool. Yeah, it reminds me of Pride. It really does. When Vanderlei was coming out.
Yeah.
And the anthems before, you know, we had the fucking guitar
solo.
That, that was insane. Like, that really got me up for that fight. It made it more important. Like you said, USA v Brazil with the anthems playing.
Yeah, and coming out with the flags and stuff.
Man, Dave Navarro, man, he was wailing on his guitar up for the American National Anthem. That was sick.
Oh, mate, I thought he butchered it, if I'm being honest.
Did you? Huh?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I thought even Chael was looking a bit like, that ain't my daddy's national anthem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's because he listens to fucking country, Willie Nelson shit, man. Shonda's entrance was sick. There was flames everywhere. He had three different tracks come on. He had the Vitor Belfort entrance music. You know that one?
I know he's ready for you. God is good.
You don't know Victor Belfort's entrance music. Shame on you.
Well, we would know if it played right now. So.
Yeah,
of course you would.
Good.
And those Bellator girls are pretty easy on the eye as well.
Yeah,
not bad, huh?
Yeah, they're hot.
So, another title fight on the card, Douglas Lima defeated Lorenz Larkin, formerly of UFC. Decision in this fight, but what did you guys think? It was a pretty fun fight.
It was a good fight. It was entertaining. Yeah. They're both really good strikers, I think.
Was there one knockdown in the fight? He got him
down.
Yeah,
it was fairly. They were fairly tentative. They were quite even fighters, I thought. You know, it was really back and forth.
It was good. Yeah.
It was a good fight. Yeah, I enjoyed it. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I've known about Larkin and coming over from UFC, and I knew Lima was a good opponent, so it was always going to be a good match, and Lima got the decision in the end, and he looked fairly dominant.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to stay away from Larkin's strikes. He's, you know, everyone knows he's got some power.
Mm.
But then, yeah, he did the job.
Eric?
Didn't Larkin poke you once on Facebook, Paul?
Fuck off, nah, he didn't. Fucking hell. Yeah. He might have come on the page on the podcast or something. Honestly.
That's disgusting.
Paul, leave that out, man. This is a clean podcast.
Leave that to yourself.
We don't have to put that explicit message up again on the podcast.
Trying to keep this clean, man.
No, man. It's a family show.
We've already got fucking Bad Boy breathing down our neck every time we use a Biggie song.
Yeah.
Today, I ain't got the time. I ain't got the time. I ain't got the time. Too much coonery, buffoonery going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't need fucking Brazzers fucking chasing us up for porn references.
Oh, hey, big boy.
Did somebody call for a plumber?
Oh, you bet I did. My pipes are all clogged.
Brazzers.
Moving on.
Good technical fight. I like Lawrence Larkin.
Lawrence Larkin, as he's known by his
Lawrence
close friends.
Mate, yeah.
I like Larkin. I think he could do more, though. Like, I think he could push the action a bit more. I would have liked to see him throw the oblique and the body kick a bit more often, because he's so technically sound. And he's got loads of tools. There wasn't enough spinning attacks. I thought he was waiting on Lima a bit too much for my liking. And he lost what I thought was quite a close decision, I think, based on slightly being a bit too apprehensive. He's almost like a point fighter. because he's technically so good. And I thought Lima did a really good job, because I think Larkin is the better striker technically, but Lima weren't having it. He was pushing forward, he was throwing that left hook. It was a good fight, and I thought Lima did what he had to do, and he did it well. And I think Larkin, he'd go back to the drawing board on that one and be disappointed. He didn't do enough. He wasn't aggressive enough for my liking.
I have to say, I prefer Lima's striking, though, for me. I feel he's a bit sharper, faster for me. But I see what you're saying. It's very, very close. It depends on what you like in a fight. But I just felt Douglas Lima had really good striking, and that's what won him the fight.
He did, and he pushed it. He was far more aggressive. He deserved to win.
Yeah, you know, he's the Bellator boy, and, you know, he represented, and he held on to that title.
Yeah.
The next fight on the card was Ryan Bader defeating Phil Davis with a split decision.
This is an absolute shit show of a fight, much like the first one, where it was proper boring as fuck.
God damn!
Phil Davis must be the most annoying fighter since John Fitch. Like, the guy just does have no... He's got zero offense in striking, man. He can just about throw a jab, and he can parry, which makes him really annoying to fight.
Because
he's so athletic, and he's always got the takedown as a weapon. He makes fighters tentative.
And he
himself hasn't got enough, like, aggressive offensive striking to go with his unbelievable athletic prowess.
So he needs to talk to Chael Sonnen, then, you're saying?
No, he could not take Bader down. He's fought Bader for 8 rounds now. This is 2 fights. He's fought him for 8 rounds, and he can't take the motherfucker down. I think he took him once in the first fight, and that's it. So if Phil Davis can't take his opponent down, he's typically going to lose, or 100% going to have a shit fight, like the Lyoto Machida one that he won somehow, and he was absolute pants. It was a pants fight, and this one was shit as well. I think Bader could have taken a bit more of a risk and tried and knocked him out, because Bader can.
Yeah.
So,
he didn't bring Darth Vader out in this fight, then.
The thing about Phil Davis is that he's just too comfortable at wrestling. Like, he's happy to just do that. He just hasn't evolved, and that's why he got dropped from UFC. And you'd think he'd learn his lesson from that and evolve a bit and do something new, you know?
Fucking hell.
Especially for us UK fans staying up late to watch this stuff, man.
No one's calling for a trilogy on this one.
Nah, definitely not.
But I think we all predicted decisions in that one. I don't know how it went.
Dana White was watching, absolutely creasing, man. He's laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
Got you, motherfuckers. Knew it.
He's too cunts.
Dana's just lighting a cigar every time.
Man. Yeah, edge of the couch, popcorn, turning up the volume. That's how they talk about this.
Oh, what are they going to do next?
Even Goldberg can't explain this shit.
It was a poor fight, but there was a couple of fucking cracking fights earlier in the card.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Notorious's own, James Gallagher. Fucking insane performance by him, fighting out of John Kavanagh's gym in Ireland. Like, another great performance for him in Bellator, and fighting Machida's older brother.
You know, Chinza.
To actually submit him is very impressive. I mean, you could see it was hard work, and he made it look easy.
Yeah.
Like, I was so happy for him here. Fighting at Madison Square Garden. Like,
he's 20 years old, the boy.
It's insane. It's insane. I mean, I heard Kavanagh on the MMA Hour recently saying he spotted James Gallagher when he was 13. And he was in a pro or an amateur MMA fight against a 22-year-old.
Mm.
And he took him down and choked him in the first round.
That's crazy.
He was like, I'm taking this boy in, you know, and training him up. And it's just amazing to see how far he's come. I mean, obviously the future is bright for James Gallagher. Great fight.
I've been thinking, working towards this since I've been 13 years old. I had my first fight in St. Pat's Hall in Strabane, and now I'm fighting in the biggest, you know what I mean? I'm on the biggest shows and the biggest arenas, and I'm getting the wins, and not only am I getting wins, I'm making statements. Do you know what I mean? I'm making statements, putting these guys away, and I just feel on top of the world. I feel motivated. I feel hungry to go and get more wins and more success and become one of the greatest.
Another fight on the undercard. I actually didn't see this one because I could not find it afterwards. But Heather Hardy made her debut. There was a lot of buzz about her going into this.
That was a fun fight.
Yeah, and she's from the boxing world, so she's a boxer. Mm-hmm. But basically, she's not getting enough money in boxing, so she took this fight because she couldn't actually get a fight in boxing, and the money was better for this. And she came out afterwards, you know, and she got the TKO in the third round. Wow. You know, fucking 13 seconds to go in the round.
Wow.
I mean, it was insane. And she came...
I can't remember the woman's name. What was the woman's name she was fighting?
Alice Yaga.
She messed her face up. Yeah. Man. Did you see her face at the end of that fight?
Well, both of them. Heather had some cuts as well. But yeah, it was insane. It was insane.
She fucked her up, man. And did you see her in the weigh-in?
No.
She was looking sexy as fuck. Oh, yeah. She had this one-piece leotard on.
With those little glasses.
With the glasses and the bright red lipstick. She looked like a porn star, man.
Yeah. At the post-fight press conference, she looked so happy, and she said, like, she's falling in love with MMA, and, you know, obviously...
She lit her up. She absolutely lit her up on the feet. It was a good fight.
So, yeah, overall, great event by Bellator. You know, gave us what we wanted. No one, like, went home unhappy, I think, watching that card.
Yeah, definitely their best to date, the best Bellator card so far.
Without question. I think Bellator's on the up, man. They've got some decent fighters there now. See some real interesting fights and events in the future.
Definitely. Still early days for them, but they're getting a lot of things right already. Yeah, when they get more fighters, a lot more are going to keep coming from UFC, and then it's just going to get much, much better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you watched it in Germany, Eric, but if BT Sport doesn't pick up Bellator, I'll continue to illegally stream it. Yeah. It's the only fucking way I can watch it. Fight Night Oklahoma. The main event was Michael Chiesa against Kevin Lee. The fight was all about Michael Chiesa's mama going into this.
Okay, see, I'm going to carry him through this card. He's going to headline because of me. After that, he's going back to the prelims. But I just hope he shows up because I know his mama got tickets. So
shut the up about, hey, you can, don't talk about my mom for one. Don't you ever talk about my mom. Don't you ever talk about my mom. Don't you ever talk about my mom,
mama, dad, whatever, like whatever you want to call it.
I'm going to smack the f*** out of you right now. Don't you ever talk about my mom.
Yeah.
What's good? There's a lot of fun talk, and obviously Kevin Lee's on the up. He's been rising through the ranks. We've all liked Michael Chiesa since he won the Ultimate Fighter. Always great submissions. But very, very controversial finish in this one. Mario Yamazaki.
Crazy. Mario
Please
Yamazaki.
Take the stand.
Oh my God. Yamazaki, he's done it again, basically. Stopping a main event like that, calling a main event short, is just, I don't know, I don't think you can really respect the guy after just justify it at all.
Now, I've heard everyone is complaining about this, but to be honest, even though, yeah, we know he can cope in a rear naked choke, it's his move.
Yeah.
But I thought for a second he did kind of go a little bit soft, and he did kind of limp his hand.
He did limp his hand, you know?
So I don't think he can complain too much, because for a second he wasn't fighting it. Yeah. And he sunk it in tight, and, you know, Kevin Lee said himself, I would have got it anyway. What do you guys think?
I felt like he probably would have got it anyway, but you never know, because I mean, we saw early in that night it was Herrig against Kish, and there was a moment where we thought Kish was gonna tap out when she wrapped that around her,
and she smelled
was fucking nuts, well, and yeah, she managed to get that's probably one of the best escapes I've ever seen in UFC. Yeah. To be honest,
that was crazy,
and you can't put it past it that was still a possibility. You never know. That's the beauty of fights, is that we get surprised by these things, and they could have happened.
It was way too soon.
Yeah. And Keisha, you know, the look of surprise on his face was instant. It wasn't no thinking about it. He was fighting. He was still angry. It was instantly angry. He looked straight at the ref and he said, yeah, you know, that was a bad call. And everyone agreed, I think.
Mm. Yeah, he screamed at him saying, I didn't fucking tap. And he didn't tap. Now, I hear what you're saying. He did go a little hazy in the eyes, and he had a little bit of this kind of retard wrist thing going on. But the fact of the matter is with Yamasaki didn't test his arm, man. He didn't, like, drop to see if his arm was limp or not.
What,
he
so
just
what?
Instantly stopped it.
Do you, do you want them to do the old Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior, raise the arm three times?
We might have to bring it back if Mary Yamasaki's
just
there.
Just the once, Leahy, man, just the once. Because I get you. How do you know if a guy's out?
I get you, well, yeah.
If his arm's limp, innit?
It was way too soon. I mean, it was. Give it 5-10 seconds, like, not maybe not even that long, a few more seconds, just to see. Mm. I mean, it was, like, early as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the exact same.
Early into the fight, Chiesa's fresh, like,
I instantly felt sorry for him as soon as that happened. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I did feel like Kevin Lee did have him, you know, I think there was 30-something seconds left, and yeah.
Do you reckon Yamasaki had a little cheeky bet on the Kevin Lee submission? would have got some good odds on that.
Kind of looking like it, yeah.
He'll have to check his personal accounts.
But yeah, hats off to Kevin Lee though. His ground game is fucking sick.
Sure, amazing,
impressive. Like, and I knew he was going to bring it in this fight. They're both amazing on the ground, but I think he was ahead of Keisha in this fight anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a case of, sorry, bad pronunciation, but. Yeah, it was a fucking good fight, and he deserved the win anyway, but sure. We would like to see a rematch, I think.
I'm sure they'll run it back. Like,
yeah, it's a fair way.
Dana was pissed.
If Lee, you know, performed so well, then you can't run. If that type of decision happened to you, you would want someone to do the same, you know. So, you know, you'd want them to do it for you, so why not do it for other people as well? Yeah. So. Yeah. Keep it all fair, and then, you know, we can see a Diaz-McGregor situation where, you know, the next person gets one back, and then you've got a trilogy on the cards. So that's how trilogies really happen, when you make sure it's fair, give the fans what they want. If the fans think it was a bit, then we want to see a rematch, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to finish up on that, we have to give Kevin Lee his props, man. He did look fucking good, man. Much better than I thought.
Yeah.
And thinking about it, man, I can't remember a single other event that a referee stopped the fight during a submission where the guy wasn't out cold or didn't tap. I can't remember of another time, man.
In the main event, you mean?
Or just anywhere, yeah. I can't remember that either. It's very rare.
Yeah.
It's rare, yeah.
There was no broken bone, there was no unconscious, and there was no tap. I can't remember a single fight where a ref's called it without those three things happening during a submission.
Well, I think they've thought it was a tap before, you know.
It's never been a tap.
You know what? You know what? This one, though, you know, the ref Mario, he's just the hand flopped a little bit when he was trying to fight the choke.
That's what I'm
saying. When it flopped, it moved in a tapping motion.
The retard wrist thing.
It did not finish the tap, but it was to a referee who's a bit in there. He could have been a little bit, you know. He just decided too early on that one, I think.
It kind of reminded me of Bret Hart when he got screwed over.
Definitely, man. It was like the Montreal Screwjob all over again.
That was it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we apologize, man.
You screwed me! Everybody screwed me! Nobody does a goddamn thing about it! Nobody in the building cares! Nobody in the dressing room cares! So much goddamn injustice around here! I've had it up to here!
We apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody knows it. I know it. Everybody knows it. I should be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Get him out of the ring.
Everybody just keeps turning a blind eye. You keep turning a blind eye to it. I got that Gorilla Monsoon. He turns a blind eye to it. Everybody in that goddamn dressing room knows that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Bret Hart never recovered after that in the WWF, so that's how Chiesa rebounds and gets an instant rematch.
Or Chiesa's going to Bellator. But anyway, yeah, co-main event, we had my boy, Tim the Barbarian Bosch, versus technically coming in at light heavyweight. Johnny fucking Hendricks does it again. Misses weight by 3 pounds at middleweight, boys.
What a fat fuck. See how fat and flabby he looked?
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane how he's done it again. And, you know, I think everyone thought a knockout for Bosch in this one, but fuck me, I cannot believe it. I can't believe he's...
I just feel like his head's not in it anymore, you know.
He doesn't care like about doesn't making care the enough. Weight, but he'll yeah. fight. It's a weird, you
it's
know...
It's a weird one, fighting for the sake of it, but not really because he wants to, maybe for the money.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want to put the effort in, so he's enjoying life away in the build-up. He's having fun, like you said, he's eating whatever he wants.
How heavy is he getting in between?
Yeah, I think middleweight, he felt that he could just do... And then this one was sloppy, yeah. 3 pounds at middleweight is sloppy. If it was welter or light... And a guy is kind of heavy, I could almost understand, but a middle, like you said, sloppy.com, this one.
He's a tiny little short midget up a fuck at middleweight, anyway. And Leo, man, I'm telling you, those Angus steaks, they don't, like, pay themselves, man. he obviously is on a fatty, big diet, so he needs to pay for that shit.
Well, definitely, mate. We've seen at KFC, you know, everyone's saying that he's been going KFC in Kentucky, I think, you know. But
KFC and Kentucky.
Yeah, in one sitting.
No, he purposely visits Kentucky just to go to KFC. You know.
Yeah.
But
and that was his hometown crowd, isn't it? He's an Oklahoma boy.
He is, yeah. Well, that's it. He, you know, he's known now in Kentucky as well. You know, so he visits there so much that you know they started to say that it's like his second home now.
Howdy folks, this is me, Colonel Sanders. For $5 you can fill up your car with gasoline, or you can fill up yourself with my $5 fill up with finger licking good sauce. It's tender, it's juicy, it's delicious. Free chicken tenders, taters ain't great.
Did you see that picture of the Colonel from KFC and it said Johnny Hendrix?
That's it, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's funny.
But I did predict a Tim Boesch KO round 2. Did anyone else predict that?
I think I did, yeah. No, I did one. I didn't think he'd make it, but fair play to him.
That was the most fun, that fight, because Leo predicted first round, you pull second, me third, and Leo decision.
Oh, yeah.
All for Tim Boesch.
Yeah,
the guy did really well, man. Let's give him some credit.
And at least Johnny, he comes and stands up with people. And that's what I give him credit for. He does stand up with people.
Fuck Johnny, man.
Fuck Johnny Hendrix, man.
He's alright.
I'm saying Boesch. Tim Boesch for a really good fight.
Oh, yeah, I liked him, man.
He stayed on the outside. He was like ducking his big power left hand. He was kicking him in the body. And then when he saw the opening, he smashed him in the fucking mouth.
Yeah, Boesch is amazing. He's definitely got that punch power that you love to watch.
He's such a fun fighter to watch. He can put away anyone.
Yeah.
Next fight on the card. Felice Herrig gained a decision victory against Justine Kiesch. Lots of talking points in this one.
Lots. Yeah. Where should we start?
I'm going to personally say, like, I didn't watch this live, and when I saw the pictures the next day of shit, absolute shit all over the octagon, I don't want to watch this fight. I just don't want to watch it.
I'll tell you what, I watched this fight, but I didn't realise. And then I saw the coverage on social media next day, and apparently Kiesch crapped in the middle of the octagon.
It was the third round. It was the third round.
So it was towards the end. She was putting up a hell of a fight. She did really well.
Was it a good fight?
She did very well. It was like a wizard's fight, this one. You know, they were constantly reversing everything. Felice Herring did it. She controlled her on the ground. But Kiesch, man, she's this one strong woman. She reversed everything. She was powering her way out of all of these grapples.
Where is Kiesch from? Is she American?
She's American, she did a really good job, and she's definitely one to keep an eye on, man. She will come back, and to face someone at Herring's level and do that was really impressive, because she's still a new fighter, and I think, you know, a few more fights and she'll be as good as Herring or better. But it was a good fight. Herrig definitely controlled that fight, and she did a good job. Her ground game is unbelievable. She was on top of her ground and pounding submissions. One point where she locked in that submission, and it was fully locked, and Kiesch managed to get out of that. You know, I mentioned that earlier.
What submission was it?
It was a really naked choke.
Really naked choke, yeah.
Amazing.
But what about Felice Herrig? She's on a great run now. She's won her last three. And she looks in great shape.
She's still never been stopped. No one's, you know, early decisions. But, you know, I think she's definitely made a rep for herself. You know, people love her. She's got a big following.
She's in great shape. She's improving every fight.
Yeah. I think she's on her way for a title shot very soon.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for Justine Kish. You know, as she said after the fight, she literally went to Twitter and said, look, shit happened.
Whoa, man, you just ran through a big pile of dog shit.
It happens.
What, shit?
Sometimes.
And it really did. You know,
it really did.
You know, and it was nice of her to like make a joke of it. That, you know, it does happen. Yeah, Romero, we've seen it. There was someone else who's done it before. You know, people have had to hold it and had problems with it. But we have seen a few there. But this one was quite traumatic, you know. And I still haven't watched it yet, I'll be honest. But, you know, you see more than enough. They say a picture tells more than 1,000 words. Well, this one did.
For sure, man. All right, let me give you some of these words, man. She will be forever known as the woman who shat herself. She's a fucking disgrace. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, she won't let disgrace. That down. I'm telling you, she'll be known.
Let's give her a break.
She will, but we will give her the chance. I mean, yes, you can't rub it off the chalkboard, but you know, if she comes back and makes her way to the top, she'll say, look, I told you shit happens or some shit. She'll make some joke about it.
Right. Let me tell you, man, because I did watch this fight. First of all, Felice Herrig's technique was unbelievable. She completely dominated this Felice bitch, man. She completely out-techniqued her, just like she showed her up technique-wise. She was unbelievable. You were absolutely right, Leo, man. Every single reversal, every single submission attempt she got out of was because of pure brute force and strength. She's a monster. Physically, she's a monster. But she don't know shit about ground game, man. She's got no technique. Literally, Dominic Cruz was calling it. Every single thing she did on the ground was wrong. She was like making mistake after mistake, but she's so strong that like Felice Herrig couldn't finish her. She couldn't like keep her on the ground. It was absolutely crazy. Then I was watching this fight already, having known that she had shat herself.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. I didn't see it like the shit. But I was looking at her grunting and like pushing so hard out of these submission attempts.
That's what happened.
Just fucking minging bitch, man.
So Eric, do you think that was Keisha's like final thrust of energy just to get back in the fight, and it just went south?
Yeah.
It went south big time, man, and I feel sorry for Felice Herrig, man. She was rolling around in that shit with her. Like,
yeah, what would you do in that situation, Eric?
If I'd noticed.
Yeah.
I'd get up off her, man. Fucking get up off on my feet and kick her in the face.
Oh man, yeah. If I realised that, I'd just do the same, man. I'd walk away. I'd be like, oh, come on.
Would you say
yeah,
that
I think she didn't, thank God, but can you imagine how much she's washed herself since?
Yeah,
that's got to be the most notorious moment on that fight card,
the notorious moment of the night for sure.
You know, it's up there.
This woman won't become a world champion, let's have it right. That's not going to happen. Ooh. But even if she contends and fights for a belt, she will still be known as the woman who shat herself. So it was clearly the most notorious thing to have happened this year, for sure.
Looks like we've got our next podcast pick.
Fucking hell. Our most notorious moments.
But yeah, anyway, next fight, boys. Joachim Christensen versus Dominic Reyes. Performance of the night winner. What about this KO, Eric?
Fucking hell, we were talking about prospects for that Jimmy Gallagher. Mate, this Reyes fella, he ain't playing, man.
He ain't playing for shit, man.
Man, he looked fit, he looked in real condition, he's tall, and he's got a fucking cannon of a left arm, man. He fucking smashed that guy's nose off his face.
Yeah, he joined the under 30 second club.
Yeah, it was a 24 seconds. He just blasted him out of there.
28 to be exact, but yeah.
28, yeah. He looks like a contender straight off the bat. He looks like a shit hot prospect.
Light heavyweight as well, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that division is sort of lacking behind DC, John Jones, Gustafsson.
Yeah, some new guys coming up.
There's a lot
up,
of
yeah.
like ifs and maybes, but there's not like a clear up and coming contender. This kid might be it.
Yeah, there's a couple Latifis out there and that, but yeah, exactly.
I have a word, Latifi. challenging for the belt. Have a word, Pullman.
I'm just saying he's a good fighter. He's all right.
Never again.
I'm challenging for the strap.
Never again will Ila Latifi be mentioned on a podcast.
Please, hold him back, please.
So yeah, next fight, boys. Tim Means came in, got the decision victory against Alex Garcia.
Good fight.
Be always been a fan of Tim Means.
Always. Yeah. Good fight, was it? Yeah. Alex Garcia with the leg kicks in this one, right? Mm. I love a good leg kick. I mean, I've done a lot of Muay Thai before, and just seeing those fucking brutal leg kicks, I thought Garcia put on a big performance, but at the same time, he just couldn't find his range early enough in this fight.
Yeah.
And he was a bit hesitant. He was going for the big punches as well, you know, and when he missed them, it just didn't really put anything in his favour, and Tim Means was working him out really quick in this fight.
Yeah, I was struck.
Yeah, I think the experience of Means overdone it in this one. And fair enough, he won a decision on this one.
Mm. No complaints. Eric?
Yeah.
No, I think it's one of those where both fighters come out better, you know? Everyone's looking at Garcia and Means after this fight, and they both did really well. But no one really took a loss, I don't feel. I think with Garcia, he was, like you say, Leah, he was loading up his punches a bit too much, but he just couldn't cope with the reach. And Tim Means does that to people, man. He's so rangy. He's got such long reach for that division that he just couldn't quite figure him out, and Means did a really good job. But I think it's a fight where both fighters will actually get better fights against people higher up in the rankings after this one.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, they're at a similar level, these two. There's not much difference between them. But Tim Means, yeah, I think he used his range to his advantage. He did the job.
Doubled the amount of strikes, so made it look easy. And obviously, BJ Penn versus Dennis Siver. It was fun. It was fun.
BJ got the knockdown.
Yeah, he did better than I expected in this one, to be honest. I was been really disappointed with BJ Penn the last few fights. I think a lot of people have. But Dennis Siver, he put it on him. Like, he kept it standing, and BJ Penn made the mistake of not taking him down. Like, why didn't he take him down? His corner were telling him to. Maybe he just couldn't find that opening. But I think someone as experienced as BJ Penn needs to know how to do that by now, you know. Mm. I feel like his head isn't in it anymore for me. He doesn't have the same focus and drive that he used to.
Well, it's like the head wants to, but the body can't.
Yeah, it's only because he has to that he's in there, you know. And I don't think that's enough, you know. He's got nothing to really achieve or prove or win a belt. Or
he wanted to catch a guy and get lucky and be happy about it and get knocked out. And he had little moments where he could throw some hands, but and he'd done a couple of kicks I saw as well, but
yeah, like, at least he did get the knockdown, and that was impressive, and it's good to see he's got that in him, but it's just not enough right now.
To be fair though, he has fought like fucking kings, like, do you know what I mean? He lost to Diaz, he lost to Yair, like, come on.
He's a fucking legend though, man. I expect him to see him win.
This was the one that he
this was the one was a big one, and Dennis Siver was interesting to see, you know. He's not as old, so at the end of the day, you know, so he's going to have an advantage.
And let's ask, Eric, what's it been like in Germany since Dennis Siver won?
Oh, it's been parades, man. People streaking up and down my roads. It's been nuts.
Long time coming.
Yeah, for sure.
They all got is that why they've all got the Dennis Siver haircut as well?
Man, can I just say that I think BJ Penn's fire is totally gone from his eyes, man. Like, in the last few fights, like right before the fight begins and after the first round, he looks like a little schoolboy.
Oh my god, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Punished.
Yeah,
yeah. His eyes are all round and there. You just look at the look on his face. He just looks
worried.
He looks worried. Yeah, he's not. I don't know. He's just not there anymore like he used to be. He used to look focused and confident, like, you know.
And at the same time, I don't think the juice is left in the tank, man. He's got no fucking gas. I think that was the main reason he didn't even try to take Dennis Siver down. Yeah. He knew he just couldn't. He's just not got the gas in the tank either.
Yeah, his arms.
You were talking about.
grapple anymore. His arms don't have that grapple strength in them, like, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, I was thinking in this fight, Dennis Siver throws non-stop kicks the whole fight.
Yeah.
And as a grappler, you have to be able to take someone down when they throw a kick, especially when they're spinning around.
And that's it. He used to, you know? But he just...
he's not fast enough to do that.
The body's...
Yeah. Not fast enough, not strong enough. There's no gas in the tank, man.
Mm. And for me, I just
thought... You're talking about Fedor fighting again, man. Do you boys really want to see BJ Penn fighting again?
No, I don't, personally.
I want to see him fight someone that is either old or just really not that good, and let him go out on a win and be like, yeah, that's my last one. I just beat up some guy that I felt... It was maybe a tight fight. I don't know, someone old, someone not that good. Yeah, just go again. Go a rank undeceiver now, and that's the way you got to do it. You got to keep lowering it until
that's quite a sad end to a career, man. Especially when he's as sloppy as shit like this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, but I'm just saying, give him one more go after Siver. It's up to him if he wants to, you know, whatever. You know, he needs to work on his cardio as well, man.
Oh man, he's got none left. He literally took the whole third round off.
The first two rounds weren't the worst thing in the world. If he put on a strong third round, if you had some cardio, you could have beaten your man there. But, you know, that's it. Once Siver realised, it made Siver look better than he was.
And it wasn't even like a clinch fight. Do you know when you're like clinching all the time and it completely zaps your energy and you're knackered? It wasn't even that.
It was his type of fight. It was a stand-up,
Siver got his distance and he was landing non-stop, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did strike, he landed bare kicks.
I think BJ Penn, maybe he'd be better off in Bellator or somewhere. I think the level of competition there would be more realistic for him personally, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you got a lot of these older fighters who are going over there and having their late days fights, you know, their last ones.
And if it was up to BJ, he probably would put on a bit of weight and fight Matt Mitrione. He's a fucking nut.
Matt Mitrione, no way. He'd plaster him in 10 seconds, man.
Yeah.
I think he better start looking at Cage Rage's roster to see who he matches up well with.
Well, fair play to him. What can you say? But another great night of fights. You know, we didn't expect too much from this card, and overall,
entertaining night, man. Yeah, it was
a great
really
weekend
good.
In MMA, really.
Yeah.
So we will be back to build up to UFC 213, July 9th, Las Vegas. Lots of big fights.
Oh, this is a big one. I'm really excited. I think this is probably maybe the best card of the year so far.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. It's a great, great event.
So many fights. Two title fights.
Yeah.
Robbie Lawler's back fighting Cerrone.
Yeah. Overall, it's just such a great card.
So many fights. I haven't even talked about half of them yet. But
yeah.
Absolutely, man.
All right.
It looks sick.
But yeah, anyway, like us on Facebook, like us on YouTube, share us, listen to us on podcasts.
Yeah, thanks for listening.